Again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to do a commentary on Day 82. I'll read the verse again. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, and it reads, "And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will." Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. As I was sharing this morning, that is one of my favorite verses. I really worked hard to memorize that verse because it gave me teaching that helped me so much. I am not one that argues right out. Usually, if people want to argue, I'm usually the first one to just kind of step back and just let it be, almost like talk to the hand. I'm not really going to argue with you. Not out. I won't argue out, but I do find that one of the things that got me into trouble and can still get me into trouble is the arguments that go on in my head, where I am just, when they say in program, taking someone's inventory over and over and over again and replaying that scene that was, that caused the argument. And I was so grateful when I read in the Bible that as a child of the living King, I am not to be one to quarrel. It says, "And the Lord's servant must not quarrel." Even in my mind, I have to say, I cannot quarrel. And it says, instead, he must be kind to everyone. And one thing that I do know is that all people, respond to kindness. And so at any given moment, I can be quarreling with a person, even mental quarreling, or I can be kind to them. If they're not in my presence, I can show my kindness by praying for them. Or I can be preparing my mind to do some act of kindness for them. So kindness needs to be what my focus is, and not in, putting on those boxing gloves and wanting to fight with them. I like it in the Bible. It says that my struggle, this is in Ephesians chapter 6, 12 and 13, it says, "My struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and the powers of this dark world." And so when I feel my little back going up, and I'm wanting to, square off, I have to remind myself, and it's so funny how the Lord always works with me as a teacher. He always makes sure that I am, keeping up with the lesson myself. Today, after I got off the meeting this morning, I usually get my sponsees, they call me right after the meeting, and I had one sponsee, and she's not a believer, and yet sometimes I wonder, Lord, why do you keep her with me? But she's been with me quite a while, and she knows how I feel about the Lord, and every once in a while she'll say things, and I'll just respond, honestly, what I feel about things. And she was sharing a problem, and I mentioned, the importance of taking it to the Lord, and I could feel her resistance, and she almost kind of bit back. She said something to me, and I could almost feel like, oh, wait a minute, you were the one that brought this up, but then I said, oh, there you go, Pat. It's an opportunity to let go. Don't even get into an argument with her about this, either verbally or mentally. Don't even try it. And so I remember to be very kind, and I said to her, oh, and I said, well, you just have a good abstinent day, as loving as I could, you know. And then when I get off the phone, I said, Lord, you're so funny. I said, giving me an opportunity to practice what I preach. And I tell you, because it really paid off, because then about half an hour later, she called, and she said to me, oh, she says, my friend is, it was something going on with her friend, and I thought to myself, okay. And then I realized, oh, she wanted me to pray for her friend. And so I ventured out and I said, oh, would you like for me to pray for your friend? And she said, yeah, would you please? And I thought, okay, you know, Pat, if you had not been kind to her, even though, you know, she had, you know, whatever, when, you know, I mentioned the Lord's name, I just said the Lord, and she got, you know, her back up, I had to let it go, and know that it's like that other part of what the verse says. It says, be kind to everyone, and then it says, able to teach. And I know that teaching, even from my experience of secular teaching, or teaching, you know, I teach math, that's what I usually teach, and I know the importance of just observing the students and realizing when they are up a creek and being able to come to them as loving as possible, because then they are open to learning when they realize how much it is that they don't know. And so I have to be able to teach. I have to be willing to be patient and wait for the Lord's timing to share His word with people. And so that also means that, as it says in that verse, I cannot be resentful. It says, be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. And that resentful shows up by bitterness. You know, I can tell it in my voice, you know, like when I start biting, you know, that the way my voice sounds, and also in my thinking, you know, when I'm, like I said, when I'm arguing in my thinking. And one of the things that I'm coming to understand is that my bitterness is steeped in both jealousy and unforgiveness. Usually when I'm bitter about somebody, or I'm talking about them in such a bitter tone, it's either that I'm jealous that they are doing things that I wish that I could do, actually, in my flesh, you know, or I'm unforgiving. I just don't want to forgive them for something that they've done. And I have to pray to have it removed. That's the only way I know to do. You know, Lord, please take away this bitterness. And when it keeps coming back, then I have to use it as a catalyst to start praying for other things and other people. You know, that when things keep battering me in my mind and I've prayed about it to be taken away, then I just use those times as times of prompting. You know, like the thought comes back in my mind and I think of somebody I need to pray about and I pray for them. You know, the thought comes back in my mind and I think of some situation that is a hard time for someone and I pray about it. And after a while, the devil hates that, so he stops. He leaves me alone after a while. But prayer is it, you know, that I get to that teaching, not resentfully, by praying. And it goes on to say, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct. And I had written down that the wall is broken down, not by force, but by gentleness. And I shared this morning a story I had learned when I was in our grade school, and it was about one day the wind and the sun were having a contest. They were trying to get this man was walking down the street and he had a cloak on, and they were trying to get this man to take off this cloak. And the wind said, oh, I can do it. No, you know, no problem. And so the wind started blowing and blowing as hard as it could. But to his surprise, the man did not take off his coat. In fact, he held it even tighter the more the wind blew, the tighter he held on to it. And then, but the sun, when it was the sun's turn, all he did was to shine, you know, shine gently and, you know, and just smile with, you know, the beams just coming from him. And the man felt the heat and the warmth from the sun, and he took off his cloak. And I realized that's how most people are. That's how I was. When someone opposed me outright and tried to back me into a corner, I would fight like a dog, you know, to hold my ground, you know. But when someone was kind and loving to me, then I would certainly be open to what they wanted to talk to me about. And this is what the Lord is teaching me. He's teaching me to be kind. And in that kindness, always to be sincere. So if I don't have the sincere love for them, then I pray for that too. I pray that to remember how the Lord was so loving to me, and he calls me to be loving to other people, because it is that God so loved the world. He didn't just love Pat, but he loved the world, and he definitely desires for the world to come to know the gift that he has given in his son, that salvation. It says later on in that verse that we gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses. It's so easy to think that people who are sinning are in their right mind. You know, it's like, especially if they seem to be on the top of the world, you know, if they're not, if they don't know the Lord, I know that they are suffering. They suffer. Whether it shows on the outside or not, they suffer. And so I have to pray that they come to a knowledge of the truth. Eventually, truth will rise to the surface, and they will not be able to escape that they cannot live in sin and enjoy it forever. Sin has been designed to smash me up by the evil one. He, of course, makes it seem palatable at the beginning, and then it's only after I ingest it that I realize that it's poison and how it's just burning inside of me. And so I pray to remember that those who are fretting me really need prayers for knowledge of truth, so that they can come to their senses and, as the verse says, escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. If I was not covered by the blood of Jesus, then the devil could use me any way he wanted to. But I am protected by the blood of Jesus. I'm like in the Old Testament, it tells the story of the Passover, how the Israelites were told to put blood on their doorstep so that the death angel would pass over them. And if they had the blood, they didn't have to worry about the death angel. And the same thing is true, is that the devil definitely he tempts me and bothers me, you know, that type of a thing. But he cannot lay a hand on me, you know. He would never be able to snatch me out of the hands of the Lord. And neither could he ever possess me anymore. He can't come inside of me. And the reason he can't come inside of me is that the Holy Spirit is there. Please, you know, let him try, you know, to come inside of me. You know, the Holy Spirit, the power in me, you know, would pulverize him, okay? And so I don't have to worry about that. I am definitely protected by the blood of Jesus. But that is not the case of anyone who does not know Jesus. They can indeed be used by the evil one as a puppet, and he can indwell them, you know. And so I don't have to worry about it. But I pray that, you know, those that I know and love will come to know Jesus for the life that is going to come when he returns, but also the life that they have now for the protection that he gives by giving me his spirit that lives, that indwells me. And I'm very grateful for that. In the reading, it tells about, you know, Jesus born, being battered by these people, just, you know, on and on and on. That was just one chapter, chapter 20. You know, in the span of a few verses, they were just continually on his case. And yet, he responded to them with patience and love. And he had a mission. And his mission was to reach their hearts and to turn them toward their toward his Father. And I have to remember my mission. My mission is to know Jesus and to make him known, to know him more and more and closer day by day, and to make him known. And as someone likes to say on these meetings, if necessary, use words. But someone should be able to look at my life and realize that I am different. And as they move closer and closer to me, to come to understand that that difference is my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah and his spirit in me working these beautiful gifts that he has, he's doing for me. And later on in the prayer, it says that I pray to teach without resentment. And the only way that I know how to teach without resentment again is when I pray. Even in my secular teaching, and I'll end with that, I remember this year I was teaching Algebra 1, and this one student was having a hard time behaving in class. He was misbehaving all the time. And it got to the point that I had to pray, Lord, don't let me just get all over him. You know, I would punish him, you know, in terms of taking points away from his daily grade, because I was finding it hard to teach. But one particular day where he had been really acting crazy, they had a class assignment to do. And I looked over there, and no surprise to me, he was clueless. He had no idea how to do it. And there was a part of me that went, okay, there you go. You know, you reap what you sow, blah, 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 and that's, and there it is. And sure enough, yes, he could possibly reap what he sows, but this small, still voice inside of me said, you know, you could actually teach him now. You could actually help him if you would let go of your resentment, you know. And I had to pray. I had to say, Lord, you know, please help me, because, you know, he deserves this. You know, he deserves suffering that he doesn't know how to do it. And I prayed, and like the Lord does, he just melted my heart of stone. And I went over to his desk, and I said, do you know what you're doing? As softly and as I can, and he said, no, I don't. And I said, well, I can show you how to do it. And I was able to show it to him. And then he went on to do his work. And the Lord is able to change my heart to be one of compassion, regardless of whether the person deserves it or not. I certainly did not deserve the grace of God that gave me salvation, but he gave it to me anyway. And I'm very thankful for that. But I'm going to stop there.